I'm on the road to recovery, step by step. There are tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own. Beyond my ears, I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. And let's have our joke now. Bring in Spencer.
Hey, Spencer, alcoholic joke teller. And I got another one from Take Me to Your Sponsor, Best Jokes and Cartoons from A.A. Grapevine. How long have you been driving without a taillight? Asked the policeman after pulling over a motorist. The driver leaped out of his car, ran to the back, and gave a long, painful groan and put his face in his hands. He seemed so upset that the cop was moved to ease up on him a bit. Come on now, the policeman said. You don't have to take it so hard. It isn't that serious. It isn't, cried the motorist. Then you know what happened to my boat trailer and the 6 cases of beer in the boat.
That's a good one, Spencer. Thank you. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Guy. I'm a member of this group. And right now I'm going to introduce our secretary. He's going to give us our report. Don, could you come up?
Thanks, Guy. Good evening, everyone. I'm Don. I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. Hey, guys. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining those outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. It is the Christmas season. Don't be a Scrooge. Let's give to the meeting tonight. We also have QR codes in the back of the chairs for those who are 21st century tech savvy. There is a way to pay. I've asked Christiana to read the recover statement. Now, we reread this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. Christiana, please.
Hi, I'm Christiana. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism, recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. but we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. We are now seeing where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Good stuff. 1940-style big book sponsorship. From forward to the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses. And among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 25% success rate, which is pretty good, pretty good. Now, anyone in the house looking for a sponsor tonight? If you are, please stand. Looking for a sponsor. All right. We have someone that needs a sponsor tonight, so excellent. Good job, ladies. It takes a lot of courage. So after the meeting, we have two ladies here looking for sponsors. So those who are have a working knowledge of the big book and want to sponsor, you have two opportunities right here. Good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. Can all the recovered alcoholics in the house raise their hand? Oh, wow. Now, if your hand was not raised, we suggest you hang out with those who were. All right, now it's announcements time. All right, Broward County Intergroup. It's where you buy your AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our where and when and scheduling the AA hotline. Don't buy your books off Bezos. Bezos is doing just fine. Buy it off Intergroup here. They could use your support. Stop by and visit them. Next slide. Now, BCIC is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get out to an AA meeting, such as the jails, the detoxes, and the rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Will all the members of BCIC in the house stand? Oh, wow. Wow. We got... for tonight. Good stuff, good stuff, good stuff, man. I think that's as most as we've had at one time so far. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Now, here are some upcoming volunteer opportunities. Now, AA's Got Talent is having a planning meeting. Call Intergroup for more info. Now, the next two planning meetings are audition meetings. Those of you who are looking for the big break to Hollywood, this is it. So I implore you to show up. All performers must show up at the meeting to participate. So... a commitment today. Service keeps it sober. Next slide. Now, those who are looking for a free lunch, you can come to the BCIC Appreciation Day, which is what's Saturday, I believe. Two great speakers, and the good thing is you don't need a year to get of sobriety to get this free lunch. So those of you who like free hot meals, show up at the 12-step house at 10 o'clock and participate. Now, what else? Now, on January 2nd, the first meeting of the new year, we have Tom M., the man from Prescott, Arizona. I never had the pleasure of meeting the gentleman, but I hear good things about him. So come join us for Tom M. Now, we have Stevie two more meetings after tonight, I believe. So come to see Stevie the last two engagements. Now, our big book, we have a big book study meeting every Monday at 7:15. Now, we are now on Zoom starting this Monday. So if you can't make it in person, you look, log on Zoom and check us out on the internet. We are in the middle of There Is a Solution. It's good stuff. This is the first time I personally am going through the big book line by line, and it's very informative, very enthralling. You learn something new every meeting. So if you want to get really into the big book, join us Monday at 7:15. Now, I believe that's it for the announcements. We have CDs, mugs, large print, big books, little red books, and big book dictionaries for sale tonight and tonight only. We are running a sale on mugs. 2 for $15. This is the perfect gift to give to yourself and a sponsor. Now, tonight and tonight only, all mugs purchased will be personally gift-wrapped by our speaker, Stevie B. Woo! So, they are a perfect Christmas gift. Check, they're on the back there, on the piano there. We have all sorts of stuff now. We meet every Thursday, starting up promptly at 7:15, Stevie B. And we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the Road to Recovery tune. Now, kick back, enjoy the meeting, and we'll see you next Thursday. Back to you guys.
Don, love and tolerance, brother. Thanks for joining us tonight. In 2 minutes, we're going to start our two-minute meditation. So please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that might make noise and distract others. This is a time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everybody ready for the meditation? Yep. Let's go. Going to recite the fog light prayer. God,
give me like a fog light so those who are lost sick at night
can find your love through me. There is a solution from the big book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out of which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I've asked Darren to read Appendix to a Spiritual Experience. We read this because it's the main purpose of the 12 steps and is to have one. So it's kind of important to know what one is. Give Darren a round of applause.
I'm Darren. I'm an alcoholic.
Darren.
The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he himself is. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Thank you, Darren. Okay, please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane mode or just turn them off. And our speaker was terrific last week. I think he's even going to be better this week. Please help me give a warm welcome to Stevie B.
Hi, everybody. My name is Stevie B. I'm a recovered alcoholic, recovering alcoholic, good to be here with you guys tonight. I say recovered and recovering because I'm recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, as we already went over tonight. What that means from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which means I don't think about things the same way that I used to. But I'm also recovering in other areas, like being on time. And, there's really no excuse for being late. And my mother was telling me it on the way over here, and which is always hard to hear from your mother. And then when I came in and realized they were holding up the entire meeting for me, that was a really tough pill. So when the pain of change becomes great enough, you'll change. And I think today was like the epicenter, like the epicenter for change. Whatever it takes, because I have so much respect for this meeting and for Michael and for Peter and everyone that put this on that I would hate to disappoint again. So Mike made a great suggestion. He said to sleep in the parking lot tonight and to just stay here till next week. I thought it was a great suggestion. So if you guys want to talk to me about the program, I am in a Ford Explorer for the next week. I want to show you an example of humility. I want to give you two examples of humility, because last week we were talking about humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And then we're going to get right into step 8, which is made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And then we're going to go right into step 9 about making the amends. I'm going to give you two real stories that happened. And I'm not going to say the people's names. Don't ask me the people's name afterwards. And I'm not going to hint none of that stuff. And I'm being serious because I'm not going to break their anonymity. But I know personally two famous people in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, they're very famous. And they have awards, and they're known all around the world. And Maddie's not going to tell you who it is either. But Maddie and I were having lunch with one of these people. And on the way out, I noticed that the table we were on and all the other tables, they were named after the famous people, and they had famous people pictures in each one of the booths. So let me give you an example, like the Frank Sinatra booth, the Elvis booth, you understand. And on our way out, I had to use the restroom, and I went back inside, and I saw the manager, the owner, and I said, you know, we're just here with this very famous person who's like a local, like who's a legend and happens to live here locally. You guys should really have a booth with this person's pictures. This all happened. And the owner said, well, that's that person's booth right there. And that person's pictures were all over the booth. And they have a booth in there. You guys are laughing. You don't understand. You're laughing at the wrong part of the story. It didn't happen yet. So we were in the restaurant with a famous person that didn't even mention that on the other side of the restaurant was their booth with their photos, with a whole thing of their records and everything, with their picture, didn't even mention it. That's humility. I mean, if it was me, and I came in and someone else was in my booth, I'd be like, that's my booth. I think the guy needs to move out of my booth. Didn't even mention it. That's humility. Or not ask someone to move. That's ridiculous. But just to say, I would, you know, say something like, it's so cool they have a booth after me. Something. That's humility. And then earlier today, just happened today, I was on a meeting at 4 o'clock, and one of our friends, also a famous person, was in Dubai. You know, raise your hand if you've been to Dubai. I'm sure guys probably been to Dubai. You guys have been to Dubai. Seems very serious, Dubai. Like when I'm in Fort Lauderdale, I announce I'm coming from Hollywood. You know, like this guy's in Dubai on the meeting, doesn't even say anything. Working in a famous business. That's humility. You see, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking any of that stuff. It's about being right-sized, that you don't have to be the center of attention, that when you're not the center of attention, you don't have to call attention to not being the center of attention. And so these are ideals for us. And then, of course, if you're a believer, any one of the believing religions, there's the epitome of humility in the front of that religion. For Christians, that would be Jesus. And you know which religion you're in if it's not Jesus. So that's something for us to strive for. Not to have to announce who we are and just be comfortable in our own skin. Which for me was very difficult, is very difficult, still continues to be very difficult, because on any given day, based on how much work I've done on my spiritual condition in that day, it's very hard for me sometimes to feel comfortable in my own skin. So if I can maybe draw attention to either someone else or be humorous or deflect, then I can feel comfortable. But the true definition of humility, in the many different aspects of it, is that just to be one of God's kids in the situation you're in. We don't have to be the smartest in the room. We don't have to be the best looking in the room. We just get to be who we are. Sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous, striving to be better. And one of the ways we strive to be better is by working the steps. I mean, it's really true. Why are we working the steps? It's not to tell other people we've worked the steps. I don't know if you've ever been in a meeting where someone announces for months that they're in the fourth step. For months. Every week, they got the sad look on their face and, hey, what's going on? I'm in the fourth step. You've been in the fourth step for like months. It's time to move on to the fifth step. And so last week we were in the seventh step. The sixth and seventh step, it's going to be ongoing. Look, defect of character of tardiness just got brought up again today. I'm sure Matthew spoke to me about it. Matter of fact, Matt has spoke to me about it. He showed up at my house and said, listen, we're on our way to a step meeting. We're late because of you. You're the speaker. He's mentioned it to me. My mother's mentioned it to me. Now, Mike's mentioned it to me. And thanks for mentioning it to me. John mentions it to me every day. My partner's here. He mentions it to me every single day at 9:05. The meeting starts at 9. He's like, it's good to see you at 9:05. So a new awareness in the seven deadly sins, the pride, the anger, the greed, the envy, the lust, the soul, a new awareness of that subcategory, that can come up any time. And I hope that we never get to a place, I hope I never get to a place where I'm like, well, I'm this many years sober, so I don't have to take a look at it. Or I'm this age, I don't have to take a look at it. Or I've already done that, I have to take a look at it. And I have a great example of my mom and dad. My dad, God, my God rest his soul. My dad went to be with the Lord with 27 years of recovery. And my mom's been in 44 years of recovery. And I get to watch people that still work on themselves and still allow God to remove those defects of character. And to say that we don't have them would be the greatest shame. Not that you have them, but that you're willing to let God remove them. So hopefully, Matthew, if we get to go up to Boca again this year, I'll be early. That's what I'm shooting for. Now I'm going to be shooting for early. So look, my partner laughing in the back audibly. So this is going to bring us to step eight. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make them amends to them all. In the 12 and 12 does an incredible job in describing step 8, 9. I think it's phenomenal. Steps 8 and 9. So I'm just going to read. Steps 8 and 9 are concerned with personal relations. First, we have to look backward and try to discover where we had been at fault. Confession, admission, submission, asking for this type of work to be done is going to take work. Next, we make a vigorous attempt to repair the damage we had done. This word vigorous is being used all over the place in the big book and the 12 and 12. Vigorous means a lot of strenuous work. Work, work. Chop wood and carry water. It's going to take work. This is going to take work. This is not going to come easily for us. You know what comes easy for me when people tell me I'm late? What comes easy? I'm busy. You don't know how many calls I've made today. You know how many people I've tried to help today. We just had an insane call on the way over here today that you can't even believe the type of call. That's easy for me to deflect. You know what's not easy for me? I have to change. Vigorous action. And the vigorous action that's going to take to change the people we've harmed is we're going to have to go back and we're going to have to make amends to them or make amends to institutions that are surrounding them if to do so would injure them or others. Like many of the women that I hurt in my life, I was instructed not to go back and speak to. And I was like, why? Because I had like a dating list. And I wanted to go back and show them how amazing I was. You know, I wanted to like carry the big book in one hand and my 12 and 12 in the other and show up at their houses and be like, this is what you missed out on. And my sponsor was like, you know, the way you're going to make amends to all those girls on the list, you're never to contact them again. That's what you're going to do. Hey, Harry, that's what you're going to do. You're not going to contact them. They don't even remind them that you knew them. I wanted to meet them again and rekindle the idea that they could have had me, which would have caused them further harm. So how did I make amends to the girls that I lied to? I misrepresented who I was. I didn't attack anybody, but I certainly attacked morality. I certainly misrepresented and lied. I certainly hurt people's families. How did I hurt people's families? I was sober and I relapsed. And this beautiful family in the Midwest had to come out of and bring a moving truck to their daughter's apartment that I lived with because I used over and over again until they had to evacuate her. How did I do harm to all these women? I didn't have to attack them. I harm them by being in relationship with them. So how do I make amends to them? Well, first I need to put their names down on a list. And that's the eighth step. I need to make a sincere attempt to put down all people I've harmed. And where I'm going to get that list is by looking at the fourth and fifth step. That's where the list is going to come from. Because where it says harms caused others, that's where the harms are. Now, in between the fourth step and the eighth step and the ninth step, there's going to be names that you forgot about that you're going to have to maybe talk to your sponsor about. Maybe like do a little mini fourth and fifth step with your sponsor. Hey, I just remembered another name. And that name's going to go immediately on the eighth step list. By the way, that's been happening for me for years, that I've had to do like little mini four steps and little mini eighth and ninth steps. Peter goes through the work every year, and I'm sure that there's other people that have come here that go through the work every year. I don't necessarily go through the work every year. I'm very, very much involved in church, and there's a lot of confession that goes on in church, plus my mother is making me confess daily. So we consider how with our new, not to say that when I need to, I don't go through the 12 steps again. Of course we do. We consider how with our newfound knowledge of ourselves, where's the newfound knowledge coming from? The fifth step. Where were we wrong? The fourth column. Where were we wrong? All of a sudden in the fifth step, we're writing down all the stuff we're resentful of. We realize a lot of the stuff is, we're selfish. Where were we wrong? Where's the new knowledge coming from? It's coming from the fifth step. That's why all the new people that are here, don't take a lot, I don't want to use the word waste time. Don't spend more time than you need to thinking about the perfect four step. You could do a four step in a day. You know the stuff you've done. You know the people you resent. You know the things that have to be fixed. You could write them down in a day and have that done the fifth step the next day if you can make an appointment with someone that's your sponsor or a rabbi or a priest or whatever it is, who you're going to do it with. You don't have to carry garbage in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous longer than you need to. The program in the beginning was not take you a year. They did this stuff in like days, and you can still do them in days. I'm not saying you have to, but you don't want to wait until you get sick and suffering or possibly pick up or die because you're carrying things that you don't need to. Most major religions have an instant confession step. A self-confession step where you can just dump it immediately. Alcoholics Anonymous has that too. It's called the fourth and fifth step. We consider how, with our newfound knowledge of ourselves, we may develop the best possible relations with every human being we know. How do we have the best possible relations with every human being we know? We go back and repair the ones that we damaged so the new ones we're not doing the same thing over and over again. This is the last time I'm going to bring this up. But if I show up, I'm not going to, but if I showed up late last week, next week, shame on me not to have changed. If I'm doing the same thing that I did to Sally from 23 years ago and I'm doing it to the next person, shame on me for not changing. God has given us every opportunity in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, not only to change the surface, but to change the inner core. It's not like we're putting on a show. We are changed people. We have been reborn, the big book says. We have been reborn into new people. And when that happens, you'll know, because your heart will go from a stony heart and a sarcastic heart and a heart that's pessimistic and the whole world sucks and they suck and that sucks. And the next thing you know, you want to be paying for people's halfway houses and buying them lunches and stopping on the corner and telling people there's another way of life and feeding the homeless on Thanksgiving when you used to want to have everyone take care of you and now you want to take care of people, opening up your homes to people. You all of a sudden you become altruistic. You start thinking about other people's needs. You wouldn't even comprehend a basket of Alcoholics Anonymous coming by if you had $5 in your pocket. You couldn't even comprehend not putting money in the basket because you know how much Alcoholics Anonymous has done for you. Now, until that happens, not to freak out. You just have not went through the you haven't went through the process yet. Yet the change has not happened. The metamorphosis, which is change, just didn't happen. But it will. Right, Thomas? If you stay here long enough, you go from prisoner to jailer, and the jailer is opening up the jail cells for us. That's what happens. It's not just magical, it's supernatural. This is a very large order that 12 and 12 says. It's not going to be easy to go back and make amends for the things we've done. This is the hardest step there is. People say fourth and fifth. That's not hard. What? Self-confessing? What's the big deal? You're going to say the stuff you've done. You're going to bring the stuff out, but you don't have to do anything about it. This is the step you have to do something about it. You have to go back and tell people you stole their jewelry, that you said it was the guy next door and it's you. You have to go back and say, remember that time I helped you look for your wallet? That was me. Remember that terrible thing that happened and someone spray painted your whole garage and everything? That was me. You have to go back and face the things you've done in your life in order to have a free life going forward. How free do you want to be? Are there people that don't do this step? Yeah, you see them in meetings. They have hunchbacks. Like, they have a curvature in their spine. They're sitting in like, because they're not willing to let stuff go. They believe that the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is about staying sober. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous is only one little half of the first step is about staying sober. The entire program, the 11 and a half other steps, is about having a personal relationship with God that produces sober. You're going to have sober if you work this program. That's one of the benefits. But the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is actually like a shill game. Like you come in and we're telling you it's all about staying sober, and the next thing you know, you become a God person of your understanding. I don't even know what a shill game is. That's the three-card Monty where you think you know where the coin is, and you think you came here because you have an alcohol problem, and you're actually on alky. The next thing you know, you're holding the door open. You're like an altar boy. How did that happen? You were the guy that stole from everybody. Now you're putting money in the basket. We were reborn. This is a very large order. It is a task that we must perform with increasing skill. This is going to take the help of a sponsor. Nobody should be doing the eight. My opinion, I hear a lot of opinions in Alcoholics Anonymous that are totally ridiculous. From the podium, this is my opinion. Whether it's ridiculous or not will be up to you to make that decision. I don't believe anybody should be doing an eighth or ninth step without the support and direction from a sponsor. Because I don't know what's best for me. I don't know how the best, the people. I already told you, I had Susie and Sally and Denise and Carolyn. I had a whole dating list. That's what's best. That's what I think is best for me. My sponsor just took it. He says, tell me about all the people you stole from. I said, whoa. A character assassination right off the bat. He said, well, remember we just did the fifth step. You stole from that place you worked at when you were... You know, if your sponsor's paying attention, he's going to be able to help you to remember the stuff that you should be remembering. So instead of me going back and speaking to all the girls I harmed, I had to go back and make amends to institutions I stole from, workplaces I stole time from, Gimbel's department store that I stole thousands of dollars of clothes from. Yeah. Yeah, the Burgers and Company ice cream place that I worked at that I basically, you know, almost destroyed their reputation because I was the manager, and we used to get busloads of people, and the busloads of people would show up, and we would have to make, you know, within an hour, like say 500 sundaes or 400 ice cream sundaes, and those ice cream sundaes, they take whipped cream. But I was the person in charge of the maintenance of the whipped cream and ordering the whipped cream. And the whipped cream actually has nitrous oxide in it. And so every case that we would get when we would go to put the whipped cream on the ice cream would just come out without the gas in it. And I was in charge of reordering it and then restocking it and then sucking it down. And so the restaurant would get got a terrible reputation. That was all me. I was stealing from the company by sucking the gas out of the whipped cream. I had to go back to my fraternity brother, John Riccobono, and make an appointment with him and say, listen, in all those months of terrible service that we were getting from that company, and you guys said it was them, Cisco or whoever the people were. It wasn't Cisco, it was Misco. I sucked all the gas out of the whipped cream. And how do you even make a financial amends for that? It's thousands of cans of, you know, hundreds of cans of whipped cream. You tally it. How much is one can? And then do it for months. That's how much I owed. Now, thank God, in that instance, my fraternity brother was just glad that I was sober and was like, you know what? We've moved on. We cut that off the menu. We're just doing burgers now. Go be with God. You know, that worked. That was a good one. That one worked out for me. But there was a lot of organizations, including Gimbel's, that I stole from, and I'm sorry about that. They actually, not because of me, it's a multi-million-dollar company. They went out of business. So how do I go back and make amends to a company that's on my list for stealing from them that's out of business? Well, you make donations to other organizations. You become very generous. You spend time being generous. You spend time being financially generous. You make it a point that this is the amount you stole from Gimbel's or whatever it is. So it's $7,000. Now you make an account of $7,000 that you're going to send to organizations. And when that $7,000 is done, that's when you've paid back Gimbel's. It works just like that. The Bible says that when you're responsible with the small things, God will bless you with the big things. My dad, a member of Gamblers Anonymous, owed Donald Trump and that organization, not President Trump, let me take that name out, owed the Trump organization hundreds of thousands of dollars from gambling. And right, for every month he would write a check to that organization. A billion, multi-billion dollar organization. My dad's a little guy working, you know, to try to rebuild his life in Gamblers Anonymous. But how he rebuilt his life so that they had a life beyond their wildest dreams is every month he would send a check, handwrite a check, not Instagram, you know, not none of this stuff. Handwrite a check, put it in an envelope with a stamp. You know what I mean, like Cash App, sorry. For 27 years he did that. And then they wrote him back. Even though he hadn't paid the hundreds of thousands of dollars, they said, your debt is paid. When my dad went to be with the Lord, Harry knows my dad. When my dad went to be with the Lord, he was debt-free from all the casinos. Why? Did he pay back all that money? No. He did everything he was supposed to do, and then the debt was relieved. That's your responsibility. You owe tens of thousands. You owe hundreds of thousands of dollars. Your responsibility is to start making amends in that process. You have someone on your list. You owe them $100,000. You go there with an envelope, and you start, and you make a payment program. The thing about what you never want to do, in my opinion, with financial amends, is to go there with a promise. My opinion is you always go there with an envelope. Like, I owe you $10,000. Here's the first $1,000. And now it's going to be $100, you know, whatever. You make it's your job to make it right. Not to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry doesn't make anything right. We say, listen, last time I promise. I said I'm sorry 4 or 5 times tonight for being late. If I show up next week late, I'm not sorry. I didn't make amends. I didn't undo it. I didn't make it right. The amends process is to make it right. You should be able to look at every single person in the world in the eye. When you see them in a meeting, in the gym, in church, at Publix, and be able to look at every single person after this step is done, when it's completed, 8th and 9th step, and every single person, you can look them in the eye and know you've done everything you can to make it right. Now, are all the people on your list going to forgive you? Absolutely not. There's the girl that I mentioned that day came in, they had to back up a trailer, and she's never spoke to me again. They won't speak to me. I've contacted the family. I've contacted the brothers. Because that specific one, my heart is right, and I really do need to make amends for all the harm I caused that entire family, for being a drug addict to that family. But they don't want to see me. They would rather not see me. That's their prerogative. But I have to be willing to make amends to them all. And I have to at least go through the process of contacting them. And this is another thing I want to mention about the 9th step. We don't do the 9th step on the fly. That is, I've done that. Like, you see somebody, and now you just remembered you owe them $1,000. Let's take the amount out. And you see them at Starbucks, and you start making amends to them in the Starbucks. No, no, no. If you see them in the Starbucks, you go to them and make an appointment to see them at their convenience. Hey, you know what? I'm in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to just tell you I would like to make amends to you. Could we set up an appointment where I could come and make right what I did to you? They might tell you to go F yourself. It doesn't matter. They may change and contact you later on and say, listen, I want to meet with you. We never do it on the fly. We didn't harm them on the fly. We don't make amends in a text. Unless you did the harm in the text. And then I guess, I'm not sure how that goes. Where you can, you make it in person. Now, is it sometimes people are in Boston or in Italy or something like that? You do your very best to contact them and to make it right. You know what's going to happen? You know, Bill W. and Dr. Bob and my dad, Stan, and many people that we know, they left planet Earth free. Free, Clancy, free. Totally free. Not because they were good people. My dad was a good people. Because they worked the program. And my dad wasn't always a good person. He was a good person to my mom. But he was a tough guy on me. He was a tough dad. Who turned out to be the most amazing dad in the entire world because of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and Gamblers Anonymous. He left planet Earth with me worshiping the ground that he walked on because he said what he did and he did what he said and he was a man, he was a godly man. That's the 12 steps. That's what that will do. The ninth step promises tell us that we're going to be amazed when we're halfway through the step. Nobody casually does the ninth step. I mean, you may be able to do one of them casually and that, but to really do the ninth step thoroughly, to go back and make right what you've done wrong, you know you're in it. You know you're in the program. It's not a talk step. It's a walk step. You're showing up at people's houses after you make an appointment. You're coming, not groveling. We don't grovel. We don't go on our, we don't show in there like, we come in there like a man or woman of God, and we set right what we've done. Now, some of them are big. Some of them are cheating. Cheating on spouses and doesn't matter. We take it on the chin and we go back and make amends. Now, if the person doesn't know about it, talk to your sponsor. No, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying talk to your sponsor. Just recently, a good friend of mine, his name is Doug P. Doug Peters, because he's with the Lord now. I was sponsoring him and he had cheated on his wife several times. And he came to me and said, I'm going to tell my wife. She doesn't know. I said, whoa, let's hold on a second. That doesn't seem like the great course of action. The step says made a direct amends to such people, except when to do so would injure them or others. It seems like you're going to injure your wife, and you're probably going to injure you if you tell her. My recommendation to him was don't do it. He went over my head. He went to God. And God told him to go do it. And he did this thing we call full disclosure against the sponsor's wishes. But I'm not God. You got to talk to God. So he went and he told his wife everything. I knew this was going to go terrible. It went amazing. They had the most incredible life. He went to be with the Lord with about 9 years of sobriety. Just recently, a freak accident. He was a young man. A thing in the hospital. You know, I don't know what you call it. Medical emergency. And he went and he went in one day. He left this planet free. His wife knew everything. So there's not always a right and wrong answer. Okay? To me, I'm always like, you know, you don't want to tell anybody anything that's going to hurt somebody. But you know what? Sometimes if God tells you that you need to do it and then you have counsel, he had the pastor from the church also saying it was okay. Me, the sponsor, I stepped aside. I thought, better not tell anybody. You know, better you just can't handle the burden. It can go both ways. But with most of the steps, you're going to need to go and make direct amends. Sometimes you're going to have to make indirect. I have a bunch of indirect amends. Now, I heard a speaker say a couple weeks ago that I totally disagree with. I don't disagree with the person. I disagree with the statement that there's no such thing as living amends. Of course there's living amends. There's living amends we get to make all the time. All right, Matt? Of course there is. But the person said, we don't have to make living amends because our whole life should be a living amends. But that's not true. There's things that you did to your family that took years. You abused your family for years. You don't just get to go back in one day and be like, you know what? I'm in AA. I want to make this right. How much do I owe you? Let's move on. Let bygones be bygones. Your family's like, what? You abused us for 25 years. It's going to take 25 years for us to have you back in the big bed. And you know what? You make living amends. I made a ton of, as a matter of fact, one of the amends, my mom doesn't know, but tonight when she was really giving it to me, I kept my mouth shut. Because one of the ways I make living amends to my mom is not answering, because she's from Brooklyn. So it's not, she's not always like, oh, you know, why don't you pray about it? You know, she just whacks you, you know, on the side of the head. And she was, you know, giving me a bunch of whacking tonight, more than the being late. She was like, your life is out of order, you're out of order, the whole country's out of order. And then she whacked me with, my whole life has been in order. You know, you don't want to hear that from your parent. You're like, your life's out of order, my life was amazing. So you know what I did? One lady is, that's called living amends. She didn't know I was working it, but I was working it. I was like, Father God, give me the strength to be making living amends right now. Because I want to rebuttal her. Okay? I'm in the helping people's life business. I was involved in a lot of lives today. My living amends to my mom after all I put her through 30 years of insanity and all the things I did to her and the family, the Christmases I was lost on, the money that I stole from them, the things I did, the lies that I did, saying I was sober and I wasn't sober, driving drunk, all the things I did. My grandfather, may God his rest his soul, picking him up by his neck, by his collar when he was 80 years old. The way that I make amends is every single day being a different person. That's living amends. My wife is a long talker. She's from Colombia, and she's a long talker. I'm going to explain to you what that means. It means I would prefer her just to tell me to take out the garbage. Okay? Like the way I operate, if she could say, sweetheart, just take out the garbage. That's how I operate. In like quick form. I'm in the moment. I need quick instructions. My wife will explain to me how garbage is collected in Colombia, where it goes, her tío Jorge, what he did in the war, how her tía, how she used to help tío Jorge in the war, and then she then goes and tells me about the children. My mother's laughing because she knows it's true. There's a backstory for everything in my house. You know how I make living amends to my wife for all the harm I did her, for being a new wife, for her having to look out the window and see if I was ever going to come home, for me to lie and to tell her to the different places I was. We were only married a year when I relapsed. I had 7 years and I relapsed. She used to spend every night looking outside the window to see if I was dead. You know what I do when my wife goes on, and most of the time, I just listen. I get to the end, I'm like, so what you want me to do is take out the garbage. That's called living amends. And then there's family members of her, which I'm not going to mention from the podium, that I've been making living amends for the last 23 years to, that when I relapsed, they stuck up for her and said, they stuck up for me and they said, give them another shot. A lot of people in AA and Al-Anon here said, you got to leave them. Her family from Colombia stood by my wife, even though we were only married a year, and said, stick with them. And so a lot of the times over the last 20, 30 years, I wanted to say something sometimes when I go down there and I want to, you know, because, you know, Latinos are, you know, very, you know, dramatic. And I want to say something. So you know what I do? Except for one time in the last 23 years when I opened my big mouth. You know what I did in the last 23 years? Keep my mouth closed. Buy them extra stuff. No, I don't mean buy. They don't need my money. They're fully self-supporting. But going out of the way. Making sure that they know how much I love them. I blew it once in 23 years and I'm not going to blow it again. I opened my big mouth and I shouldn't have. But for 23 years, I made direct amends. because that family stood for me. That's living amends. And I live my life like that. And the people that live their life like that, the people that Brother Lawrence in the book Practice the Presence of God, the people that put this, they don't have to put this meeting on in this type of excellence. The banners are not in the how it works. The podiums and lights and perfect sound and this is not all part of the AA thing. There's a coffee pot and a rickety table in most meetings. The way that these people put it together is in excellence. They put it together in excellence because I would imagine they feel the overwhelming responsibility to Alcoholics Anonymous. They feel like they've been reborn, that their life has been changed. And every single Thursday for years and years and years, I've been coming here for 20, I would imagine 20 years, Michael, right? 16 years. They've been doing this in excellence. Showing up early, staying late, banners up, microphones on, cameras in excellence, lights on. This is how we live a different life. We don't talk about being a different life. We don't go and tell everybody we're living a different life. We live a different life. The people that we get to look up to, which is a lot of them here, Paul's not here tonight, but the people that we look up to, the people that came before us, the ones that we get to emulate, they remind us of who we are. And not about the opinions. I want to just say it again. There's a lot of opinions from the podium. I don't think opinions have any place. It's about the action. I don't really need your opinion. I have my own. What I need is your direction. I need to explain to me how it worked for you. How did you get to be that type of man? How did you get to be that type of woman? Please tell me the things you did so that I can arrive at the same destination that you seem to be at. And when that destination is not attractive, they know how to pivot at 80 years old. They know how to change. Because it's not chronologically that makes you better. It's the work that you do along the journey. There's a dash. We're all living in it. You've heard the story. We're all in it. Norm was a big guy a couple years ago. Really big. This guy was like tremendous big. And you know what he said? I want to change my dash. I want to live long. I'm going to change my dash. 1959. When were you born, Norm? 56. Yeah. 1956 to wherever that is. I'm going to change my dash. So that my story doesn't read, I died because I didn't want to take care of myself. My story reads, I lived a good life in Alcoholics Anonymous, helping as many people as I could, not being perfect, but following a program that is perfect for imperfect people. The result is a close relationship with God. And the byproduct is, yes, I get to go to the grave sober. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Was I right? Even better tonight. Wow. Let's thank our speaker again, Steve. Now we have tonight's session and all our past speakers' podcasts for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. Again, I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night big book study. We meet right in this room at 7:15. And those who would like to thank the speaker tonight, please line up down the center aisle. And let's close with the Lord's Prayer seated. Who keeps us sober today?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Body's aching. desperately in need of restoration. Shining through, but
crying. You bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope the world smiles for you.
shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
All right, Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the... pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Fog is lifted, I see the light. Count my blessings when I go to sleep at night. And I dream now. Fear has left me and I'm standing tall. A pile of bricks now lies where once there stood a wall that I hid behind. For all this time. Sometimes it takes a burning bush or a great white light to set you right. Well, my eyes don't cry now, I'm about to dry. Pity party's over, the guest of honor has arrived, and he's on my side. For the first time in my life, are green now, growing vines. They twist and turn each way. Flowers blooming all the time outside my door. Like never before, I had to change everything to realize that today is the best day of my life. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Shine your light on me tonight.
flawless and go at I work these hands right down to the bone.
Just won't set me free. Clap your hands and believe me, children.